Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags! 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Get on the grid, Sports Grid, Morenci Unfiltered. I am Gabriel Morenci. This is Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. We appreciate you joining us on whatever medium you listen to your podcast on. We've got Mike Blewett stepping up and in. We've got a lot of stuff to hit, a lot of NFL draft props been posted over at FanDuel. Me and Cameron are breaking them down. I look forward to getting Blewett's opinion on some of these draft props. It's Blewett's very well versed on the National Football League and the upcoming draft. Yet we got some news. Right before we started this podcast. And as I stated, our TV tapings are basically a day behind. You know, so it puts us in a tough challenge. One good thing about the podcast, this is as live as we're going right now. Besides, you know, if I do my own podcast in the middle of the night or something like that. But yeah, so this is as live as it goes. But we could tell you, like, earlier in the day, Tuesday, the city of Toronto announced that they are shutting everything down until June 30th. Wow. June 30th. Now, we discussed this with Steve Merrill, in which the states of Virginia and Maryland both agreed to cancel and shut everything down until June 10th. So I bring this up right now. Now, number one, I know we have a lot of listeners, actually, in Toronto. And, you know, Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area, et cetera. But I bring it up because it sort of puts it in a sports context a little bit, or at least puts it, you know, listen, everyone wonders how long is this going to go? No one can really put a timeline on it. And listen, it's not, there's no countdown on this. There's no bad guy that we can catch, right? Like, oh, we got an AP. We're going to catch him, man. He's hiding and like, we're going to get him or we're going to, you know. There's no bad guy to get here, so it's very hard, Mike, to be definitive with a timeline. So a lot of people sort of think, well, it's going to go away soon, it's going to go away soon. I think when you see, listen, Maryland, Virginia, June 10th, Toronto, which is a major metropolitan city with about 7-8 million people in the area, that's, you know, not very far from Detroit, not very far from New York, et cetera, going into June 30th. So I'm just stating, it's not like New York is going to open May 30th and Toronto is going to be close to June 30th. I think Toronto actually was more realistic than everybody else was here.
Yeah, I think, look, New York has a massive infrastructure, right, with over a million children that are in school of all ages, you know, through kindergarten through high school. So while they keep inching back the goal line, I think it is in deference to the understanding that as we continue to do this, it is going to create a hardship for a lot of people. I think both the mayor, de Blasio, and Governor Cuomo, regardless of what people's political affiliations are, understand that they are doing their best in this scenario. And a lot of people have held Governor Cuomo in high esteem. But I think there's a general understanding that this will continue to get moved back. My children are in New York schools on Long Island, not the city. And it's just until April 15th. I don't know one person that thinks that's a realistic comeback date. I've said for a long time, I think we're going to pick our heads up on Memorial Day and see where we're at. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest, or certainly a lot of stories to suggest, that the worst may not have hit New York just then, which is a scary thought because it's pretty rough here right now.
Yeah, that's one thing I kind of don't understand in a sense, in which how the curve hasn't been flattened at all in New York at all. And instead it keeps going up when you consider the social distancing has been going on for a couple of weeks, but it goes to prove that a couple of weeks isn't enough, right? Like that's what it goes to prove. And as I stated, you know, this is our new reality, people. It is what it is. And when we put it in a sporting context, and when these leagues are coming back, put it this way. Well, the mayor of Toronto just said that there'll be no permits, no anything, no events, and not discussed until June 30th. So the Raptors aren't, hosting any playoff games anytime soon.
That's right. Right.
The Barclays Center's closed. Like, dude. They're turning in where they play the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows. I saw they want to turn it into a hospital.
Central Park has a...
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about playing sports? Like, how? Like, Brooklyn's in the playoffs, so what are they doing? Where are they playing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this whole...
Yeah.
Everybody
the
just...
The Nets and Raptors are tough. Out, based on the discussion we're having. The Nets and the Raptors can't play.
Well, the whole thing, and we've talked about it a lot, is the NBA wants to put everybody under a bubble and stuff, but... This isn't a TV show, man. Like, it's not going to work out. Like, my gut instinct. Yeah. Let me ask you, too, Mike, what do you think about this? If you're a younger NBA player, you're Ben Simmons or something like that, it's like, yeah, whatever. I'll live in quarantine for 7 weeks or however long we're in the playoffs here, in some sort of bubble. I don't know. I was thinking about Kyle Lowry of the Raptors and other guys that are close to their families and their wives and their kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Are you going to leave? Like, put it this way. Would you leave your kids right now and your wife and say, I'm going to go play basketball in a bubble and I got to be quarantined and you can't come? And, hey, best of luck over the next 8 weeks. That's a tough sell, I think.
Yeah, it's a really tough sell. You know, they obviously live very different lives. There are stretches with professional athletes where they don't see their families for a long period of time.
And also they make a lot of money to deal with things
tons.
Like this, right?
That's
like
right.
This is
That's
why
right.
we pay you $38 million a year.
Yeah. And I think that would be a discussion that the teams, an uncomfortable one and a sort of tone deaf one. But I think that is a discussion that teams would ultimately have to have with the players, the league, and the NBA Players Association and everything else in order to sort of cross that bridge. But God, I wouldn't want to have that discussion, and I wouldn't want to be forcing that issue upon the players when all this stuff is going on around us. I don't see how it's going to happen. I've already written off these seasons that were in play.
Yeah.
I've really been looking towards college football and professional football.
So what about baseball? In your opinion, you don't think there's baseball this year? They're running out of real estate. I mean, that's why I found it interesting that the city of Toronto, they're in every professional league except the NFL. So the mayor of Toronto just basically shut down the Blue Jays aren't playing there until July 1st minimum.
I was looking sort of at
is everything just going to be magically better on July 1st? I don't know.
Dr. Fauci, who's obviously running this operation, in America has said that even when the quarantine is lifted, it doesn't get lifted across the whole country all at once. The most uncomfortable part for people, another uncomfortable part for people is that when this quarantine is lifted, it's going to have to be done in a staggered manner, meaning you and I and New York and New Jersey residents may be allowed out for a couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks, and then we have to go back in and quarantine again in order to make sure that we're doing everything we can to try to
this sucks. And I'm not gonna lie, it sucks. Like, basically, you know, I should have traveled a little while ago, but I sort of got caught up and, you know, I said, you know, I'm just going to wait it out. And, you know, I think for health purposes, it wasn't a bad idea, actually. Right. Yeah. Just to sort of kick back. I've been isolated and everything. Mm-hmm. But essentially, wherever we go now, Mike, you're exactly right. Wherever we go, we're going to be quarantined all the time. Like basically, like for the next like year and a half of our lives, like whenever you travel somewhere, like we'll be able to travel, like, you know, the airport's not closed, but it's going to be like, you know, ultra dicey traveling and paranoid and scary and stuff. And then wherever you get, they're going to be like, yeah, you can't go anywhere for 14 days.
Yeah.
Put it this way, Mike. I landed at the Toronto airport this weekend. How excited are they going to be when I tell them I'm getting off plane from New York City, bro? Like, what do you think? Oh, welcome to Toronto, sir. No, man. They're going to be up my ass, bro. And they're going to tell me, you got a quarantine. And they're not screwing around there. I was seeing their $750 fines. Like, they're monitoring people and stuff.
Yeah. I talked to Chicago's handing out $500 fines if you're congregating, you know, too close to one another or too large a group of people, which I don't think the fines make any sense because, you know,
that'll just piss people off. Nobody's doing
if somebody's a lower income person and they've already lost a job, or maybe they're in the service industry and you're handing them a $500 fine, it could not possibly mean less.
And no, I think it means, and I don't have a problem with it. Fines. You've seen these people in New York, and I don't understand. I love the irony too. It's always healthy people that do this. So they all go to work out in the same place and they all go jog in the same parks, but then there's a million of them in a stupid park jogging. It's like, dude, you're a health out, you're a workout fiend, you're a workout health guy. So aren't you like kind of aware that you shouldn't be around all these people? So I got to tell you, like, I don't have a problem if the cops walk into a park and when there's 50 people sitting there playing basketball together right now or something and saying, you know what, we got to fine you idiots because you don't look. Like, look at the people that lined up to watch the boat yesterday. Like, what are you guys, morons? Take a picture and move on.
Right. Watch it on television. It's a boat. They literally harbors every day in New York.
It's a boat.
Dane Martinez, our co-host, he lives in uptown Manhattan. I'm sure he doesn't mind me sharing this story with him. And he's saying that it's eerie because it's so quiet, right? There's not as much traffic in the city, certainly a small fraction of what it normally is. And the only thing you can really here in the city right now are sirens, A, and B, cops on their loudspeakers telling people to break it up. Another story from Dane.
Oh, can you hear that? Break it up. Yeah, break it up.
Yeah, cops are yelling at people that are congregating on corners, telling them to get away from one another.
Yeah, you know what it is, though, too. And there's a lot of people, like, there's a lot of street people out there that have nowhere to go, right? So they're just sort of out there, and, you know, they're together. Like, I was outside the Port Authority the other day, and there's packs of street people that are hanging together. They don't really have anything else, right? Like, they only have each other. So I hear the sirens all night. It is eerie too. And there's sirens already, but there's definitely more of them now. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. And you were saying about, traveling to other cities, people at Airbnbs and hotels and other areas of the country are already letting it be known that New Yorkers are not currently welcome, right? And I understand that. I wouldn't want people from downstate New York in particular traveling to my Airbnb or my hotel with potential infection.
It's great. Makes me feel a lot better. basically, this is going to be on us forever, Mike. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people are going to be, New York. Like, everywhere we go, like, now for, like I said, wherever you go. Like, you're American. You're American. Yeah. And they'll shake your ass down in Rhode Island with the National Guard. They're going door to door hunting New Yorkers. Like, what is this? Okay. Like, whoa, like, you guys got, I thought, like, everyone was an American. And, like, it was like, oh, we're all in it together. Like, it's insane.
Apparently not.
I would pay back Rhode Island big time, bro. Like, honestly, like, I swear after this, if I was Cuomo, man, I'd build a freaking, like, wall and pole. like basically, anyone from Rhode Island that ever wants to get to New York again, it's like $50. Like, I don't care, each way.
So, you know me, I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but I'm trying to give myself some sort of light at the end of the tunnel, right? And you and I both agree this will be going on for some time. But Dr. Fauci and Dr. Brix, who's another woman that we've been seeing on TV a lot, are positing an estimated 100 to 200,000 deaths. If we do things the right way, that'll be the number, the range in which we come in.
Yeah.
And obviously these
numbers
are
projected. From 100 to 200 the other day.
But my conspiracy is that, do you think it is a design? And we know, look, I'm not Trump's biggest fan, but we know how he can.
So you're saying when there's only 30,000 deaths, they say, right? Hey, look what we did, right?
Is he putting that number out there because they are pretty comfortable in stating that they are going to be under that number?
Or is it I hear what you're saying. I don't think Fauci's playing around.
I don't think he is at all.
I don't think he's politicizing it. And I've read a lot about it, and I read like best case, worst case scenarios. And this was from basically Oxford, like one of the leading infectious disease guys, like in the world ever type thing. He had a best case scenario for America and a worst case scenario for America, and sort of the, you know, what are the realities? And the problem is, the U.S. is trending more towards Italy than South Korea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the line's not flattening out. There's pockets popping up. It's not in control. And I don't think people realize, like, you know, this has been going on in Italy. I don't know, man. This stupid virus.
The five trains still packed.
Yeah. Like, it's still like, are they really? I get it. Like, are they really building tents in Central Park for nothing? You know what I'm saying? Did they bring in this you know, this ship just for the theatrics? This ship hasn't been in New York Harbor since 9/11, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve Kornacki, the guy that has become famous on MSNBC and NBC for tracking election night results, and he's like this master of the telestrator. He was utilizing it last night on Brian Williams' show to give people a sense of where there's new pockets of the disease popping up, of the virus popping up, and what secondary cities it could possibly impact, you know, from Toledo to Flint, Michigan, to everything else. You know, it's across the entire country now. So it's just a matter of seeing how these can be contained. And I think we know from watching the news that certain beach towns, whether it's Virginia or Florida, have not adhered to the restrictions.
Well, how about Jerry Falwell at Liberty University?
I can't even I can't even logically discuss that. It's a totally illogical move.
So, I don't know if you saw that the pastor in Tampa, in Tampa, exactly, they put an arrest warrant out for him.
Yep.
And, you know, same thing with Falwell. They wouldn't do it because of the political aspects of it, but it was brought up, actually. Like, Falwell's getting sued. Like, that's a no-brainer. Like, he's already, the lawsuits are already coming in.
How many students went back?
1,800.
Out of?
Exactly. Like 6,500, 7, yeah. Still, yeah, he invited 1,800 back. 900 left immediately after the sicknesses and stuff. And he's arguing with the parents, and it's just reckless. Like, that's what I don't understand, why, like, they take pride in being reckless. Like, I saw the state of Kentucky, which ironically enough actually shut things down like March 6th, Mike. Like they were actually like ahead of the curve. And we brought it up, like the Kentucky Derby was one of the first ones out of the gate to cancel. And not even like, oh, we're going to postpone. They were like the first ones. Yeah, we're doing this in September. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe they're not so dumb down there in Kentucky after all.
Well, I mean, they have a pretty significant political figure from their state that...
That's not a bad point. That Mitch O'Connell, when they were trading all their stocks, right? He told their boys, yeah, you better cancel the Derby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like
how Mike's not laughing. You're like, yeah, that's what happened.
I mean, Mitch McConnell, I'm sure, knew early that this was as serious as it was.
Oh, he knew in February, January. You're right. Yeah. Everything's fine. All right. Hang in here. We'll take a quick break. We're kicking it with Mike Blewett.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on a great sports grid. We're checking in with Mike Blewett. And I like how Mike deadpanned when I said, what do you think McCall told him? He's like, yeah. And I like when you got to like Trump's honesty in one case in which it was a couple of weeks ago. Somebody complained and asked him, why is it that the Brooklyn Nets are getting tested and, you know, nurses can't? And the reporter said, is it because they're NBA players and they're because they're celebrities? And Trump said, yes, it is. Trump sort of looked at her and said, yeah. He goes, I guess so. And then Trump goes, I don't know. He goes, I don't know how they got tested. He was actually honest. Like, he had no, like, it was like a no bullshit
answer.
He looked at her.
He very rarely pulls the I don't know.
Yeah, no, he goes, I don't know how they got tested. He goes, I'm not in New York. He goes, I don't know how they got tested. She goes, well, do you think because they're NBA players and they're millionaires and they're celebrities? And Trump said, probably.
And then Trump said,
isn't that the way it's always been? And he was like, next question. Like, yeah. People ask about that. It's like, you know it is. You know money matters. Like, everyone knows money matters.
Yeah. I mean, he can't be the boots on the ground for every person.
Yeah, no. What do you want? How the hell does Donald Trump know that Kevin Durant's getting tested for coronavirus? Think he cares?
Yeah, he's not tracking that. I mean, yeah, I guess he could then follow up with every accusation and try to figure out how these people got tested. Look, I'm conflicted on this. Obviously, people of privilege are able to get these tests, right? But I also do think it is helpful to the community at large to understand that this is impacting everyone. The thing on that blew up online, which I couldn't understand, is that people were criticizing Sean Payton for having gotten a test, saying, oh, he's just privileged, he got it. Which my retort to that would be, well, he's 54 years old, and he, by the way, has the coronavirus. I want that guy to get tested every time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Would you rather that he was walking around and not known? Listen, exactly. In a perfect world, everyone gets tested, right?
Exactly.
And that's actually, though, this is what we're getting back to. That's what they did in South Korea. And South Korea is like flattened the curve pretty damn quickly because they knew, all right? They literally did like 368,000 tests in like a week type thing. Like, they banged it off. They were able to get the data from that to project areas. They knew which areas it was worse in. They also knew who had it and who didn't. That's the problem in America right now, right? There's people that don't know they have it. They're still out there. There's 350 million people here. It's hard to even isolate now as it is. And you just don't know, right? Like, you need to know if you have it. Once they know that, you can isolate people. And South Korea did a good job at that. I know the testing's been getting better here a little bit, but the genie's out of the bottle.
They had fully mobilized drive-up tests quickly yes. during the process. And we just, I mean,
meanwhile, we've got Larry the Pillow Guy making masks.
Yeah, right. MyPillow.com.
The most comfortable mask you'll ever wear. He actually dropped that. He said that too.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
So, shout out. I don't know if you see the story about Stephon Marbury.
I did see it on the ticker. I didn't read the details of it, but he's trying to score, you know, thousands of masks, right?
No, he don't play around. He doesn't play around. This guy, 10 million masks.
Yeah.
Stephon Marbury sets up deal to deliver 10 million masks to New York City. Former Knicks superstar Stephon Marbury wants to deliver the Big Apple, something that needs even more than an NBA title. 10 million N5 masks for hospital workers. Marbury's played the NBA 14 years before moving overseas to become a legend in the Chinese Basketball Association. Told the Post he's made arrangements with a mask supplier in China, willing to sell New York 10 million masks that cost for $275 each, well below the $750. All right, he said he got the idea last week after learning the state's protective gear, and goes on, at the end of the day, I'm from Brooklyn. And, you know, it's not the first time he's done this. He also donated $4 million to the NYPD and NYFD family fund after 9/11 for relatives of the victims.
Oh,
yeah. He doesn't, and, you know, people, when you hear Marbury's name, though, he doesn't get credit for being the philanthropist that he is.
No, he gets a lot of heat for people thinking that he was a bust or had a bad attitude or for any variety of reasons. But honestly, if his legacy could be something like this and his philanthropy, then who cares that he didn't win playoff series? I could care less if he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, he's won three titles in China, and there's more than just winning NBA titles, too. That
I agree.
He's his shoe company.
Yes.
His shoe company was a game changer.
Yeah.
It was a good
sneakers.
Yeah, it was a great product. And people don't realize how much money he actually made off of that, too. That's the whole thing. Yeah, they were cheap shoes. He sold them for cheap, but he sold a lot of them. Like a lot, and especially in China after the fact, he sold a hell of a lot of them. Like, that's why he can afford to do these endeavors that he does right now, because of the money that he has. All right, so speaking of one thing I wanted to bring up, actually, I was going to say, speaking of New York, I was going to get your take on the Giants. I had a couple of draft things I wanted to bring up, but I didn't realize this. I kind of knew. It was one of those deals where you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of knew he was going to med school, but Myron Roll. I saw him. It's funny. There's a lot of stories on him now because of the coronavirus, and basically he's on the front lines of this right now.
At Mass General,
which is what, probably one of the best hospitals in America, I would imagine, right?
Absolutely. Mass General is one of the top hospitals in the entire country, particularly their cardiovascular unit. But Mass General is a hospital that I've passed by hundreds of times in my times.
It's like
Boston,
partnered with Harvard, like, and he's a neurosurgeon.
Extremely well respected. Yeah. And he's a neurovascular surgeon, or in residency to be a neurovascular surgeon, and he's being pulled out of that unit. That unit has been converted into COVID-19 cases only. So obviously he'll be called in when they need necessary surgeries for him to assist in. But for now, he's expecting to be pulled onto the front lines to deal with COVID patients full time.
You know, it's one thing, actually, that people don't really think of Florida State as a good school either, right? That they actually have real classes. But from what I understand, Florida State's academia is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, and University of Florida, too. Look, as somebody at Myron Roll's intellectual capacity, it didn't really matter where he went to school, right? And people can look at it that maybe their graduation rate for their football team hasn't been spectacular over the years, but it's a research institution. So there's a wealth of resources at schools like that for anybody of any discipline to be able to be successful. And if it's a research institution, which I'm pretty sure Florida State is, then that gives them ample capacity to study sciences and everything else. And that's something he did. I always respected Myron Roll. I didn't care that he dropped in the draft because teams thought he was going to leave football, which he did. I thought he was always focused, from being a Rhodes Scholar to knowing exactly what he wanted to do. And honestly, what he's doing right now, I remember watching an interview 10 years ago, and he said he was going to do this.
That's crazy. Yeah, I saw him do an interview the other day, live from the hospital, actually. And yeah, fascinating story. Fascinating story. There's a great piece on him. It's on SB Nation, and it's long form piece and great interview with him. Stuff I really didn't know. And you know, he opens up here. He's basically stating that he was always sort of smart, right? Like even as a kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he basically stated since he was so smart, he didn't fit in anywhere, right? And it even goes like basically like there's a story about when he played with Florida State, like no one liked him on the team. They were like, you're not one of us.
Yeah.
Like they didn't think he was like, he wasn't from the hood enough. He wasn't, they thought he was soft, and they thought, well, you're like a nerd, right? You think you're smarter than us and stuff. And basically, like, they wanted to fight him. It was like a gang, Florida State. Like, you know, it's the dark side of football here, right? The hazing and stuff like that. So he basically stated he knew some guy. It was almost like prison, man. So he knew some guy, one of the linebackers, was talking a lot of shit about him and said, I'm going to test this kid. And Roll basically said he went home and he watched a bunch of Muhammad Ali videos. he beat the crap out of the guy. Roll beat the guy up, and he said people sort of backed off him after. But he said, exactly, even in the NFL. He said, even in the NFL, there was, like, coaches would be weird around him and just sort of – it's amazing how football people hate smart people, Mike. Huh? Like, remember Josh Rosen? They were like, they were doing interviews. They were like, what's your problem with him? They're like, wow, he's kind of smart, and he's got opinions on everything.
Yeah. There's two things that'll get you a black mark when guys are evaluating you. Your ability to think outside of a game plan, right? They don't really want you critically thinking of everything to gum up the works, so to speak.
But they also know there's a reason. I just want to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Because
it's
funny. They don't want an idiot. They do the Wunderlich and all this type stuff. But in their mind, they think this guy's so smart, he's not going to listen to the coach. He's going to think the coach is an idiot. B, if he has a minor injury, he won't play. Or if something happens, he'll retire quicker than someone else because he's not an idiot, right?
That's what I was going to focus on.
Yeah.
I think with somebody particularly like Myron Roll.
Because I don't think they hate the guy because you're smart. I just think they don't like you because, you're too smart to be in their league.
He ended up being a sixth round draft pick, and you and I remember how good of a player he was. He was a first round talent, right? So people didn't draft him because they thought, you know what, this guy, he loves football, but he talks in every interview about how he wants to be a doctor and he's focused on things beyond football. And in this instance, they happened to be right. He left the NFL after his 4-year deal was up. He played through 2013 and he was like, I'm out. I got my one contract. He probably helped pay some medical bills and, you know, maybe get himself an apartment. And then he was out. And I think that is critical. I think people, and remember even Myles Garrett, there was talk of him being artistic and how he had a focus beyond football, and people were trying to make that into a negative. I find it odd, but I think that's the community of football. I think they want you to be 100% focused for the 4 or 5 or 7 years of your career.
It's crazy. I'm reading. So he grew up in New Jersey. And township, New Jersey. So he's basically stating he was so smart, he went to like a prep school, the Hunt School of Princeton.
Prestigious
prep school. But he pointed out, he said there was only like 7 or 8 black kids in the entire school. And he said that basically his friends, the people around him as a kid, that he would be invited to yacht parties and that he would be invited to sit at Florida Knicks games. Honestly, it was always a little weird. Adjusting to people who had a lot of money. He was middle class. He wasn't poor. But he goes, I never really felt like I was around people who were like me. And he brought that up even at Florida State. And you see now, like, this is his calling. You see, like, on the front lines right now, he had a smile on his face, like, I'm ready for the challenge. like you said, he basically knew he was born to do what he's doing right now.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, I watched these interviews 10 years ago, and I remember him talking about how he wanted to be a neurosurgeon and potentially utilize that to help less fortunate people, like where his parents came from. His parents are from the Bahamas. They moved to New Jersey when he was a little kid, and that was always a focus of his. Now he's learning at Mass General how to do that, whether he takes it to abroad or keeps his talents here in the U.S. I give him a lot of credit. I don't care that he didn't play more than 4 years. He was an awesome football player. The fact that you can be a football player and be an All-American at Florida State and be a Rhodes Scholar is pretty incredible.
Now, these are the stories that the NCAA should be embracing and that Florida State should be embracing, right?
Yeah.
And, his quote is, your life is not your own. You're living a life of example for other people. Says Mylon Roll. Well, these guys, like, some deep, and it goes on to say,
he's the real deal.
As you stated, his dedication to the medical profession made some NFL scouts and coaches doubt his dedication to the sport of football. So that's the thing. They don't care if you beat your girlfriend up, and they don't really care, like, if you're a horrible person, but he loves the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dude, he's 6'2", 215. He ran a 4.54. And he was an All-American at Florida State and a Rhodes Scholar. He got picked in the sixth round. You know, there's only one reason that you wouldn't pick him, is because you didn't think he was going to play football for too long.
I don't know if Josh Rosen has ever gotten a fair deal in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays for Arizona behind a horrible team, a coach that was in over his head. Never really got a shot there. Weird system. Goes to Miami. You know, weird. Like, a kid got drafted and never really given a shot. It's strange. It's almost like every coach just doesn't like him. Yeah, I know. it's like it's very
top 10.
Yeah, because you can say, oh, he's a bust. Like, how do you know? How do we know? The kid never got a chance. One of the strangest careers ever this kid's going
to
have.
Yeah, and he may never get a chance to start unless somebody gets hurt. If I'm picking him apart, I have to say, well, you got to play well enough to beat out Fitz. But at the same time, right when he was there in Miami, it was a huge mess. Brian Flores got it all together, but it took half the season before they stopped looking like one of the worst professional football teams we've seen.
Yeah, and Fitzpatrick could be good. He doesn't care.
I know. He's got
right?
the
so
best
it's like if a guy's just going to throw. Yeah, he's playing with house money, so it doesn't bother him. He can be good, he can be bad.
Said this before.
He's not an easy guy to beat out for the job because of that. He doesn't care.
I know. He's so carefree.
Because, even if he loses the job, he's like, oh, I'll retire. I don't care. Like, right. You know what I mean? You're like, my life's on the line, my career. I got to complete this. He's like, I don't care.
I went to Harvard. I've been playing football for 15 years and with no pressure. There should be a T-shirt with his picture of his face on it that say YOLO underneath it. He's the epitome of YOLO. Like, I don't care. I only live once. I'm just going out there slinging the ball around and having fun.
Yeah, but that's what pissed me off, because he used to make some plays as quarterback of the Bills. That's when he made a name for himself. And he'd make some plays, but it was his nonchalantness after interceptions that would piss me off.
Yeah,
he just sort of would walk off the field, like, shrugging his shoulders, like, oh, well, you know, hey, that's that. And I'm like, dude, man, like, come on, man. Like, you went to Harvard. How come you're not smarter? All right, hang on. We'll take a quick break. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're talking NFL football with Mike Blewett. And Mike, that's the one thing that always gets me the most about, and you always see it. You always see it. You always hear it. And it's almost like a play-by-play guy jinxing a no-hitter or a shutout in hockey. You know, it's the same thing. You're not supposed to bring it up. But any damn time, man, a guy brings up, oh, you know, he went to Harvard. He's a smart player. Yeah, whatever. How come, like, he turns the ball over so much then? Like, you know, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is obviously a smart guy. He went to Harvard, and he took business management, I believe, too. And I, you know, I always said he's obviously smart. He's made, like, $100 million in the NFL, and he sucks. So he's made money. He's obviously pretty smart. But he turns the ball over a lot. And I swear to God, I was watching a Stanford game, basketball. And it was like, dude, like, one of the kids, like, stepped out of bounds, like, on his own. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you know, it was right before the shutdown, actually. I was watching a Stanford game, and I was thinking about that. I'm like, if I hear them say, like, how smart these kids are at Stanford, right? So it goes to show, you might be able to be smart at science, but you're still going to do dumb things on a basketball court.
Yeah. When the bullets start flying on the fields of play, decision-making gets scrutinized a lot more. It gets tougher to make those quick decisions. But again, you know, Fitz was a tough guy to have when you were trying to build something real. But if you're just out there trying to win games and you weren't building the franchise around him, that's when he was at his best.
Well, we have the NFL draft still scheduled.
Yeah.
And the GMs don't like it, but they've got to deal with it. And they're all in the same position. That's one thing. So it's not like anyone really has a major advantage over anybody else.
Clearly not ideal. I understand why they wouldn't want it, but we're doing it.
Well, this is when teams are going to find out how good their scouting departments are, right?
So it's all tape eaters now. It's the interview process goes out the window. Honestly, it'll probably be better for them than meeting the guys in person. Interviews are notoriously unreliable when you're trying to bring somebody into the fold in job opportunities. And this
well,
is
Justin
no different.
Herbert's the first one that at least I know of that, you know, that's been talked about. Herbert's the first one that basically has done a couple of interviews via FaceTime and Skype. So it's happened. That's what they're doing. It's funny because I spoke to somebody who covers college football in Orlando for the Orlando Sentinel, and you know he covers a lot of Florida State stuff and Florida, and so he talks to big time coaches. You know what I'm saying? Like Mike Norvell's there now. Norvell's there, and Dan Mullen. He was saying I was talking to Dan Mullen, et cetera, in Florida. So big time coaches, and they were saying that. Like Mullen was basically joking that he's lost. Like he's sitting in his office and they're like, he's like FaceTime because he's like, I don't know what FaceTime is. And they're like, all right, coach. And it was kind of a joke that we were joking. You can imagine Nick Saban, right? You imagine Nick Saban ain't know how to Skype somebody. You know what I mean? So like, they're going to have Saban in an office and there's going to have to be a guy there. And they're going to, all right, coach, listen, we're going to get this kid on the screen. And like, say, you know, Saban's going to be like, oh, I've been doing this for 50 years. I've never seen anything like this before. Like, I just like to be in a room to see some of these coaches. I got a TikTok with this kid. What? I got on my cell phone. Like, they're going to be like, yeah, coach, listen. And because that's what it's going to, I guarantee you. I'd like to hear stories after. I guarantee you coaches are going to say, I gave the phone to my son and my daughter, and they just sort of did it, and they got the kid on the screen for me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, they're not going to know how to do it.
Assistant coaches are great at that, right? They're constantly texting and social media and everything else. But I think you just serve up a link to Saban, have him bookmark it, and then hopefully he's off to the races. What was the temperature from the Orlando Sentinel writer? I'm sorry, I missed his name.
It was Matt Buscella. That was it, yeah.
So relative to the start of the college football season, any opportunity for that to happen? It's looking grimmer and grimmer by the day.
We had him on. We had him on basically pretty much the same day or the day after the Kirk Herbstreit said he didn't think there would be you know what? It was the day before Herbie, but I brought it up before, and I'll give credit to Dennis Dodd, actually, who I've had Dennis on before.
Yeah.
I'll give him credit. It was a really good article that he wrote in which he spoke to one of your guys, actually, Boston College. Professor Zola. I wish I knew the guy's name. I think it's come pretty close. Zola.
Warren Zola. Yeah.
Thank you. See, man, I'm good. I might just off the top of my head. but yeah, Zola is one of the leading experts, guys, in sports, business, law, TV contracts, collective bargaining agreements. And he's known as one of the top guys in America for this. And he said, nobody asked for my opinion. They didn't ask me. But he said, I don't think there'll be college or NFL football this year. And that's what he said. And he basically, he named a couple of challenges around it. And then subsequently, Dodd spoke to Mack Brown. Mack Brown said he thinks there's going to be no fans in a shortened season, maybe. Bronco Mendenhall. These aren't conspiracy theorists, right? This isn't AOC and Pinko Commies, Mike. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This real, like, because people are, oh, shut up. And all right, you know what I mean? No. It's like, no. This is Mack Brown saying, yeah, they're probably, if we play, maybe 8 games and no fans. Bronco Mendenhall said same thing. No non-conference games. Conference games only, no fans. Georgia's AD was pretty honest and was in a panic. He basically stated, the athletic budget for the Georgia Bulldog athlete, all the teams, is $176 million. $141 million of it comes, or I should say the revenue. So out of $176, which is their budget, essentially. So $141 million the football team brings in.
Yeah.
Like, basically, they're saying it's going to kill, like, and college football without fans, that's going to cost them money. Now, I find it interesting that Arthur Blank said to Peter King on Peter King's podcast, just said, I got to tune into Peter King's podcast because it seems like every day he's breaking news with this NFL stuff. Arthur Blank said the same thing. I don't speak for the league. I'm not like, and Goodell's probably upset that he even says anything, but he said, I'm not speaking for the league. This isn't like, I'm not saying I know. He goes, I don't know. But he goes, it's a real possibility that there's no season. And Blank said, no fans. Like, that was kind of not even, he said, even if there is a season, there'll be no fans. That's how it started. He goes, if there is a season, there'll be no fans. But I can't promise you there will be a season, essentially, what he said.
On the college front, I think, unfortunately, the trickle down that you will see from all of this will be a very real elimination of teams at certain schools, whereby the budget just isn't going to sustain certain teams, those non-revenue generating sports.
Oh, tennis, swimming, that, everything's going to get wiped out.
So I think some teams will have to flat out spend, cancel some of those programs long term.
Now we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But let's say hypothetically college sports is shut down for the year. They've already lost so much money. They lost so much money with March Madness. The college football would be devastating. The number I saw was $6.5 billion. So that's basically what they're bringing in. So they would lose $6 billion in a year. It could be a game changer for college sports moving forward.
They just lost $1 billion because they missed March Madness.
And sort of make it where the players are going to get paid in the future, where it almost like becomes privatized/proitized. You know what I'm saying?
There's so many tentacles to this too, Gabe.
I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think it's a smart point.
Eligibility issues, what do you do for these spring sports where they didn't even get to play yet, like lacrosse, baseball, softball, like they just got a few games in, in certain instances. You just tell the seniors to pound sand and like, sorry, you lost your senior year. I think
you're a kid that's good enough for the NBA and it's just 1 year and you got to sit around for another year because you can't even, you can't play one stupid year of college basketball or whatever. Oh no. There's lesser ramifications that would be big stories on any other given time. You know what I mean? Where you'll realize like, how about this? And this is something actually fascinating because people have brought up. Now, one thing I think is interesting, the leagues know they're not playing regular season games. Like at this point, like I know somebody that bought for her and her family 4 tickets for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they basically said, they sent her a letter saying, well, we'll give you credit for a game because it's not really canceled when we come back and play. Said families could use that money now. You know what I mean? especially now. They could use that money back. The Oklahoma City Thunder know damn well they're not playing against the Phoenix Suns. That's who the tickets are for. You know, you're not playing. You know you're not playing. And I know it sounds trivial, but it isn't trivial. There's a lot of money out there that these teams are hanging on to right now. And you know what? They're making money off the interest of it, right? Like, it's unethical, actually. No, they're making money off the interest of it. And trust me, I was in the music business before. There's a reason why tickets go on sale. Like, is sometimes, like, for the Stones or U2, tickets will go on sale, like, a year in advance, bro.
Yeah.
And you're getting $100. Yeah. What do you think that money is? Like, there's a reason, right? Yeah. Like, they make money off of interest, guys. So these leagues are collective sitting on billions of people's dollars, rock promoters, the arenas, et cetera, when they know damn well, right? They're not rescheduling this stuff. And at some point, it's going to come up. Like, at some point, you're going to have to start giving money back to people. And that hasn't come up yet, actually, with the leagues. People applaud them. Oh, they're going to pay their workers for a month. Okay, they should, right? We're applauding our masters for, like, doing what they should do now. Yet it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, Mike.
I agree. I there's just so many tentacles of everything that we've talked about. I have for a while, as I said, pick your head up on Memorial Day, see where we're at. I think we all know it's going to go a lot further than that, whether it's Toronto, Virginia, or anybody else has declared a state of emergency for an extended period of time. I think, as a sports fan, you're really keeping your eyes on the NFL. I think college football is in real jeopardy. You're just looking at the NFL. Can we get to Labor Day, after Labor Day, with a sense of normalcy? And it's going to be hard. I mean, imagine the summer when people are in lockdown. It's going to be really difficult.
So I got an email from StubHub that basically says, in the U.S. alone, more than 23,000 events have been canceled. Wow. 23,000 events have been canceled, postponed, or rescheduled in the past 3 weeks, and we expect to see many more. Effectively overnight, the live event industry has come to a standstill for fans, sellers, teams, leagues, artists, venues, and other supporting businesses. See, this is the thing. Basically, as they say, we've worked hard to create a platform that serves both for buyers and sellers, a trusted marketplace. It's a situation where the buyers and sellers are all screwed, and everyone's money is stuck in cyberspace, Mike. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, absolutely. No one can refund people because they haven't been refunded yet. They hasn't been canceled yet, but people are starting to get pissed off about wanting their money back.
My sister went through something like this with a vacation where they're not refunding. They're saying you can just reschedule, and she doesn't want to do that because they have no idea when they'd be able to go.
I saw a family, same thing, $6,000 for Disney World.
That's right.
And or Disneyland in Florida.
It's exactly what we're talking about. My sister was going to Disney.
So. Okay, exactly. So this guy is saying, you know, he just got laid off. I could use the $6,000. I planned this vacation months ago. Times have changed. And like you said, Disney's like, hang in here. We'll give you the, you know what I mean? You can come. Yep. Like families are going to be in a hurry to go, like, to a theme park the second someone says. Like, there's going to be hesitation to go out for a while after this with people.
Why the hell would you do that? Of all the places to go.
Yeah, Disney.
I just want to go to a restaurant, dude. I just want to go to one restaurant.
I want to go to it.
I have no problems regarding this virus. I admit, like, we're healthy, we're safe, but, like, I just want to go out to a restaurant. I'm not going to a baseball game or Disney World. No way.
Yeah. Let's say, all right, hey, Yankee baseball, August 1st, you're going to the home opener?
Absolutely not. 0% chance.
Zero percent, huh?
0%. Front row seats. Sorry,
what do you think, like, moving forward? Like, will FanDuel be open, like, in September?
That's a great question, dude.
Like, with football, let's say question. The Giants are playing without fans. If there's no fans at the stadium, so what, you're going to put 3,000 people in a sports book across the street?
No, you can't.
Like, you know what I'm saying? No, you bet online, right? That's why there's an app. That's why there's a website.
Thank God for the app. It brought in near about 85% of the revenue was mobile anyway. So the sports book's great. You and I love going there. We love filming there, but it can't be open if there's no fans in the stadiums.
I know. This is one thing where, you know, how long, like, life is going to be changed forever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think hopefully, it's commonplace. We'll see people wear masks from here to eternity now in our lifetime.
That's absolutely true.
You know what I mean? Like, it'll be common. Yeah. Them. Yeah. It'll be common practice. Like, now you won't raise your eyebrows when you see someone wearing a mask, like, even like 2 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you and I fly a lot, so we've seen that a fair amount, right? Over the years,
yeah.
People do tend to do that. You know, it's commonplace among certain Asian cultures to do that. When you yourself are sick, you don't want to expose everybody. But obviously, other people that have other medical issues, I see them wearing masks. And,
yeah,
you know,
but now,
that, so.
You know, but it's conflicting. They said before, you don't need a mask. It doesn't work anyway. It's not a big deal. It's just for healthcare workers that are leaning in close to people. And they only said that because there was a shortage of masks. Now they're like, well, maybe we need a mask. Because basically, it's a new virus. And I think they're finding out it lives in the air. It does live in the air. Now, I'm not saying it lives on the streets and the fresh air and, you know, et cetera. Like, oh, my God, I can't breathe anywhere. But, you know, I'm hearing anything from, yeah, like if someone coughs on a bus and they have it and they just cough out, that those particles could be in the air for like 3 to 9 hours.
That's
pretty scary.
That's very scary. You got me scared even worse. Chris Cuomo has it now.
Yeah. Me can't talk about it. Chris Cuomo's in better shape than me, you, and Cam combined. And he's
I know.
Yeah. And you know, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why, trust me, I'm not taking it lightly. I'm not taking it lightly. But
remember, just a few weeks ago, you and I were talking about, hey, do we think the St. Patrick's Day parade will go on? I was like,
wow.
I don't think they can do that. I know, it's just insane.
That feels like it was 10 years ago.
It does feel like, trust me, it does. It feels like 20 years ago. Now,
listen, we got to get out of here. The time flew by, Mike. But
yeah,
you see the Empire State Building as the siren?
I did.
Are you for or against it? Some people say it stresses them out.
Well, if you're not going to be stressed out now, I don't know what it would take for you to be stressed out. So
yeah, that's
you
a good
gotta figure out a way to deal with it. It's time to be stressed out.
I actually think it's a good idea. It's a reminder. Don't be stupid.
Exactly.
I saw a great tweet. They said, you know, we effed up when we pissed the Empire State Building off.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go, Mike. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Stay safe.
Yeah. All right.
Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.